banking row. It led to the resignation of NatWest chief executive Dame Alison Wokey-Rose. NatWest has since announced an independent review, with lawyers probing the closure of Nigel's account and other incidents of debanking by Coutts. But I wanted to know, as Nigel presses ahead with legal action on this, can people sue their banks if they found out that their accounts were wrongly closed? I am joined now by Stephen Barrett, who is everybody's favourite GB News-based barrister. Thank you very much, Stephen. Great to have you on the show. It's a pleasure to have you on. Look, what can people do legally now if they look at it and they think, hang on a minute, I was debanked?
Yes, well, I can't give legal advice to everybody, and everything will be case-specific. But I have, for a very long time, felt that this issue of debanking can be challenged. And there are, in my view, legal mechanisms for challenging it. Several different ones in law, in my view. When the story emerged initially, and people seemed very gleeful that Mr. Farage was being treated this way, they took what I thought, or I considered to be a very 19th century view of contract law, a very, very old-fashioned view that whatever goes in the contract, the courts will simply uphold it and that's it. Since the 19th century, we have realised that there is an imbalance of power in contract making. And we've done many things to protect consumers or to protect parties that we consider to be weaker when they are engaging in a contractual negotiation, which is largely a fiction, of course. Because one of my favourite bugbears is we will have all, most of your viewers will have lied about this because they will have been faced with a tick box saying, have you read the terms and conditions to whatever it is? And they probably won't have done, but they will click yes in order to activate the online product or the computer program or whatever. Actually reading the terms and conditions is something that hardly ever happens, and most of us certainly wouldn't have the time in day-to-day life. What goes in those contracts cannot be sinister. So, you know, if I ordered some food and clicked, you know, yes, I've read the terms and conditions, and one of the terms and conditions said, well, you must give me your firstborn child. Obviously, that term and condition would not be applicable. Obviously, it would be challengeable in the court. And I think in a similar vein, these terms and conditions which the banks are purporting to use are almost certainly challengeable. Nobody must take action based on my feeling of that they must consult proper qualified lawyers and take individual advice. But I've long felt that this is not a situation that banks are going to be able to hide behind. And what was interesting about the Gina Miller situation was how the bank, that financial institution, was its initial reply to the customer was to say, I can't tell you, we can't tell you the reason that we've closed your account. And that is simply not sustainable. And what Nigel Farage and his lawyers have done, which is very clever, is used a data protection subject access request to simply force through that nonsense. What banks and financial services institutions seem to be doing is they seem to be bundling all of this up with anti-money laundering. But a lot of it is obviously not anti-money laundering. And certainly, no. You know, in the case of Mr. Farage, nothing to do with the anti-money laundering regime. These institutions, these confections of contract law, are much more challengeable than people think. And going to the idea, I mean, the banking and financial services is the most heavily regulated industry we have. There are obligations to treat customers fairly and to behave in responsible and respectable ways. There are all sorts of, once you get into financial services law, and if the victim, if you like, of debanking is an individual, they get all the benefits of all of the very complicated financial services regulations. So not merely contract law, there'll also be potentially regulatory routes. It's potential that this is all covered by the Equality Act. And there are some other potential arguments to use. But the overall conclusion I have is that I think a challenge will work, because banking is simply too essential a service. Now, it became immediately obvious. If you're denied banking, you're effectively denied the ability to function in this country. You know, it's well beyond any type of other contract. And I felt for a long time that this would be challengeable. And as ever, when law and sort of public affairs collide. Thank goodness I was sent Mr. Farage, who can get an awful lot of attention to a legal issue, which, you know, had he not got all that attention, I could have banged on about it until the cows came home and no one would have listened. But I think it is challengeable. There's also clearly plans in the government to clarify all of this. So I was asked with some others to draft a clause to the finance bill that the government said it would support, and that would have dealt with this very, very clearly. Now, that was sent off to the payment services regulation, and that's just a technical bureaucratic delay in this. There's clearly a government appetite to stop this happening, and you can see why. It really doesn't matter whether you like Gina Miller or you like Nigel Farage. You need them to be able to have banking and financial services in this country to function. Okay. You know, you simply cannot have this ostracising a political opponent. The country won't work.
Yeah, look, Stephen, thank you very, very much. Great to have you on the show. And great, I think, to have that message for people there, that there is a web of different avenues open to them, all of which look relatively promising. Because people up and down the country now, when I'm walking around, people are genuinely coming up to me and say, I think I was debanked, or I know someone was. Or people are sending me messages saying, oh, this has happened now to me. What can I actually do? And we're paving the way, hopefully, for people to actually manage to get something done about it. That's Stephen Barrett there, who is a barrister. Now, look, the Prime Minister has...